Well, let's turn again to the New Testament, and this time to Paul's letter to the Ephesians and chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, page 1178 in the Church Bible. And we're going to read now just four verses from verse 10 to verse 13. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. The year is about 1400 BC, and God's people are about to enter into the land of Canaan. They're a small, tiny group, really, of about just 2 million, and they're planning to tackle the walled cities of much more numerous inhabitants of the land of Canaan. It's an incredibly daunting prospect. After 40 years under the leadership of Moses, Joshua is now taking command of the Hebrews. And what is God's word to Joshua in these daunting circumstances? Be strong. Fast forward now to 60 AD, and the Apostle Paul has been writing a letter to God's people in Ephesus on the coast of the Mediterranean in what is modern-day Turkey. And the theme of this letter is all about establishing a new community. Not this time a national community in one particular land, as the Israelites under Joshua were about to do, but a spiritual community. Ephesians is all about the church of Jesus Christ, God's new society, which is to stand out from the old corrupt society all around them. It's to be a place of love, a place of forgiveness, a place of reconciliation, instead of hatred and bitterness and alienation. But it's no less daunting a task for Paul's readers in AD 60, faced with the pagan city of Ephesus, than it was for the Israelites under Joshua facing the Canaanites in 1400 BC. And it's no less daunting for you and me today, as we seek to continue this work of building God's new society here in Newton Abbey in the 21st century. And so Paul's final words to the Ephesians, and through the Ephesians to us this evening, are words of comfort and words of encouragement in this great task of building the church. Be strong. Be strong. And that's what I want us to think about this evening. And I want us to look at these verses that we have read from Ephesians 6 under three simple headings. And the first question is this: why do we need strength? Why do we need strength? We're being commanded here to be strong. This is the climax. This is the last thing that Paul wants to say to his readers. Why is it so important that we should be strong? Well, verses 11 and 12 explain why strength is so necessary for the Christian. We need strength because we're in a fight. It's as simple as that. We need to be strong because we're in a fight. And not just any old fight. Christians, Paul says, are involved in a difficult and dangerous conflict. He says that we are wrestling. That's in verse 12. And this word, to wrestle, it's a very unusual word in the Bible. In fact, this is the only place that you find it in the whole Bible. The NIV, I think, translates it struggle, but the ESV is much better, wrestle. It's used of a grueling, hard-fought, hand-to-hand kind of combat. This is a fight, Paul is describing, that strains every muscle and that taxes our wits as well. I don't know a great deal about wrestling. Real wrestling and not just the pretend stuff that you sometimes used to see on Saturday afternoons. I don't know if that still happens or not. But real wrestling requires great strength, great agility, and all your wits about you as well. And we urgently need strength for this kind of a struggle, this kind of a challenge. Christians are fighting an enemy, in other words, at close quarters. We're wrestling with this enemy. This battle is not being waged with computer-guided missiles or drones or smart bombs. It's not being done by remote control. It is up close. It is in your face. That's the kind of wrestling that's being described here. Well, who is it that we're wrestling with? Who is our opponent? Well, Paul tells us, first of all, who we're not wrestling with. He says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Whoever it is that we're wrestling with as Christians, whoever it is that we need strength for fighting against, it's not a human enemy. It's not someone that you can see or hear. It's not another human being with the same nature and with the same vulnerabilities as we have. Whoever it is that we're wrestling with, it's not someone who has the same weaknesses and limitations that you and I have. We're not wrestling with someone who gets tired or needs to sleep and rest. We're not wrestling with someone who gets hungry or thirsty. We're not wrestling with someone who grows old and weak and dies. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. So who are we wrestling with? Well, Paul is very clear, isn't it, that we are wrestling with a spiritual opponent. Verse 11 tells us that we are battling with the devil himself. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. But we're not just wrestling with the devil. That would be bad enough. But in verse 12, Paul piles up four different words to describe a whole army of demons under the devil's control, which are leagued against us. Rulers, authorities, cosmic powers of this present darkness, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There's a lot of discussion in the commentators about what these four terms precisely refer to. I don't think it's describing different kinds of demon or different ranks of opposition. I think it's the cumulative effect of piling up these four terms that Paul particularly wants to hit us with. Taken together, these four terms tell us a number of things about our opponents. So if you're a Christian this evening, these are the people that you're wrestling with. These are the people. This is why you need strength if you're a Christian. These terms, these four terms, tell us, for one thing, that our enemies are powerful. These spiritual enemies have power. They are rulers. They are authorities. They are powers. The devil and his angels do have power. They have power to do great harm. You see that in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, don't you, when you have descriptions of demon possession. Classic example of that is Legion, that wretched man who was controlled by thousands of demons, who cut himself with jagged rocks. You think of the boy who threw himself into fire and into water. Wasn't himself, he wasn't throwing himself into the fire and water. He was overpowered by this spiritual force. And especially, demons are powerful in the whole realm of temptation. They destroy friendships through jealousy. They destroy marriages through lust and unfaithfulness. They destroy contentment through covetousness. They destroy nations and empires through greed and pride. These enemies are powerful. The devil is described by the Apostle Peter as a roaring lion, dangerous and powerful and lethal. So these terms tell us that our enemies are powerful. They also tell us that they are wicked. Not just powerful, but wicked. They are the powers of this present darkness, a symbol for evil in the Bible. They are the spiritual forces of evil. Our enemies as Christians are thoroughly wicked. They don't have any morals of any kind. They don't have any scruples. They have no code of honor. They have no pity or mercy. There isn't an ounce of kindness in them. There is no Geneva Convention to control and to limit the tactics and the weapons that they use. They are utterly ruthless. They will stop at nothing to hurt and to destroy Christians. They will use any measure. They don't play fair. We wrestle with enemies that are thoroughly evil. Think of the most evil men that have ever lived in history. The really notorious criminals and warlords that stand out in your mind. And then multiply their wickedness 1,000 times, 10,000 times. And that will give you some idea of just how evil these spiritual opponents of Christians are. They won't think twice about hurting us in any way that they can. They are powerful. They are wicked. And Paul says they are cunning. He talks about the schemes of the devil in verse 11. And this word describes crafty, scheming plans. Underhand, deceitful tactics. The devil and his forces rarely attack openly. Paul tells us elsewhere that the devil masquerades as an angel of light. Evil rarely looks like evil at first. It looks innocent and reasonable, and it sounds plausible and attractive. It's desirable. It seems to be legitimate. The devil doesn't come along. He's not stupid. The devil doesn't come along to us and say, here's a big fat heresy. Believe it. He doesn't try and get you to just wake up in the morning and go off and commit murder or adultery. No, he's far more subtle than that. He baits and he camouflages the trap like a good hunter. The schemes of the devil. And this word schemes, of course, is plural. Because this is not just a one-off attack. He doesn't just have one scheme. He doesn't just have one way of trying to tempt Christians. No, he has many repeated and endlessly varied schemes. And if one line of attack fails, then immediately he'll go off and try something else. If the devil can't make someone lazy, well, then he'll just change tack and go to the other extreme and try and make them into a workaholic. If he can't catch us with immorality, then he'll try and turn us into self-righteous, proud Pharisees. We have an enemy who is powerful, who is wicked, and who is cunning. And this is why we need strength. This is why God commands us to be strong, because we are in hand-to-hand combat with this terrifying enemy. An enemy that is powerful and evil and cunning and spiritual. It would be bad enough to have a human enemy who was powerful and evil and cunning. How frightening would that be? To be persecuted, to be hounded by a ruthless attacker. But at least if our enemy was human, then we would have a chance of stopping him. The police could be called in. MI5 could be brought in. He could be locked up in a prison to hold him. We could defend ourselves against flesh and blood. But how do you defend yourself against a spiritual force of evil in the heavenly places? This is the stuff of horror films and nightmares, isn't it? An invisible enemy that never sleeps or rests or lets up. And doesn't matter how big the gun is, doesn't matter how fast and how devastating the bullet is or the laser beam or whatever it is, it's useless against spiritual forces of evil. The best bodyguards in the world are absolutely useless. No prison could hold this enemy. You could run away by yourself and live on a desert island for the rest of your life, but you would still be open to attack from this enemy. Here's why we need strength. Because of the enemy that we are wrestling against. So the question then becomes, where can we find this strength? And that's our second heading. Where do we find strength? How do you fight against an invisible spiritual enemy? Well, in and of ourselves, we can't. You can't. There's nothing that you can do to stand against the devil and his legions of demons. You don't have any strength at all in yourself with which to defend yourself. So what hope is there? Well, look again at what Paul says in verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The strength that you and I desperately, desperately need is available to us, and it is found in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us again and again that his mighty power is infinitely greater than all the powers of this present darkness combined. We see that when we read the Gospels as well, don't we? You read the stories of Jesus exercising demons. He speaks a word, and the demons have to surrender their grip on human beings. They wanted to speak, but Jesus wouldn't let them speak. He told them to be quiet, as if he was speaking to a whipped dog. They wanted to harm Jesus' mission, but he wouldn't let them. Their voices were muzzled. Again, you see that very clearly in the story of Legion, don't you? Here's a man who's possessed by perhaps as many as 6,000 unclean spirits. The word legion refers to a cohort in the Roman army that had 6,000 men. And certainly when the demons come out of Legion, they go into a herd of pigs, and there were at least 2,000 pigs in that herd. So this is a large number of unclean spirits that possess this man, but they are completely powerless before Jesus. Or think of the devil himself, the leader of the spiritual forces of evil, tempting Jesus in the wilderness, using every scheme in his playbook that he can think of on the Son of God. And the tempter has never failed in the whole history of the world. No one has ever been able to stand against him. But he fails now. And Jesus says to him, "Away from me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan." Again and again and again, all through his ministry, Jesus resists the devil's temptations because his power is greater. And then at the cross, at the moment when it seemed like the devil had triumphed, at the moment of, it seems, Jesus' greatest weakness, as he hangs on the cross and dies, Jesus breaks the power completely of the spiritual forces of evil. Paul tells us about that in Colossians 2:15. "Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." In his death, Jesus destroys the devil. He crushes the head of the serpent, just as was prophesied way back in Genesis 3:15. Yes, the devil and his forces are powerful. We've seen that. But the Lord Jesus Christ is infinitely more powerful. And he will destroy the devil and all the devil's angels on the last day by the breath of his mouth. That's what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 8. He will destroy the devil with the breath of his mouth. Sometimes we get the idea from different parts of the Bible that there's going to be a massive battle on the last day, that the battle of Armageddon is going to be two very evenly matched sides. You've got the devil on one side with his demons, and you've got Jesus on the other side with the saints, and they're going to battle it out, and it's going to be very, very close and touch and go, and who's going to win? It's not going to be like that at all. Jesus will return and destroy the devil with the breath of his mouth. Just as if there's a fly on the microphone here and you just blow it away. That's how easily Jesus will destroy the evil one. He has strength, infinitely more strength than all the forces of evil combined. And Paul is saying to you and to me this evening that that same strength that Jesus possesses is available to us. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Don't try for a moment to be strong in the strength of your own might. You can't do anything against the devil if you try to be strong in the strength of your own might. But you can go out into this week and you can fight against the devil if you are clothed in the power of Jesus Christ. We put it on, Paul says, like a soldier puts on armor before a battle. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 13, take up the whole armor of God. Clothed in God's strength, we have a full set of armor. Nothing can get through it. Nothing can harm us and hurt us. The devil can throw all his flaming arrows at us. He can try out all his schemes on us. But if we are clothed in the strength of the Lord, then we are protected. Can you imagine trying to stand against the devil and all the spiritual forces of evil on your own strength? Why would you try and do that? That's a hopeless thing. That is bound to end in disaster. In fact, we've got an example of that in the book of Acts. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? They were going around trying to drive out demons. They didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't believe the gospel. They didn't trust the Lord. They weren't followers of Jesus. But they saw the apostles casting out demons in the name of Jesus, and they thought that they would give it a go. And so they go along and they say things like this, "I adjure you." They come to a demon-possessed man and said, "I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims." But the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That's what happens when you try to stand against the devil and the spiritual forces of evil in your own strength. You can't do it. You haven't got a hope. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And when you're strong in the Lord and the strength of His might, you can resist the devil. You can stand against all the rulers and the authorities. We resist the temptation. We have to do the wrestling. But it is by the strength that God gives us that we resist and we wrestle. Paul writes about that in Colossians 1:29. He says, I labor, struggling with all His energy, which so powerfully works in me. That's a tremendously encouraging thought, isn't it? Yes, we are locked in this terrible struggle against a powerful, ruthless, evil enemy. But we have the strength of the Lord within us, which is infinitely greater. John says, He that is in us is greater than the one that is in the world. And you've got to believe that this week when you're tempted, as tempted you will be. Perhaps we'll be tempted to do evil before we leave this building tonight. Certainly before we lay down our heads on our pillows this evening. We will be tempted every single day by the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And we've got to believe that the one who's in us is greater than the one that is in the world. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. When everything inside you and around you is urging you to give in to sin, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Don't rely on your own resources. You'll fall if you do that. Rely on God. Call out to Him. Put on His armor. Submit to God, James says. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that brings us to our final question. Why do we need strength? Where can we find strength? And then thirdly, what happens through this strength? What happens through this strength? And Paul tells us three times in verses 11 and 13 what the result is. Here's something that he wants us to notice and pay attention to. We stand. We stand. We stand. That is an incredible statement. Here we are, we're being attacked constantly by these spiritual, wicked, powerful, cunning enemies, and yet, in the Lord's strength, weak, feeble creatures like you and I are able to stand. You imagine a man running down a corridor, being pelted on all sides by spears and arrows and bullets and bombs exploding all around him, and yet at the end of it, he's still standing. He's managed to dodge and deflect everything. You would look at a man like that and say, that is absolutely miraculous. There's something supernatural going on if that man is able to run down that kind of opposition and still be standing at the end. Well, here's a result that is even more miraculous. The devil and all the spiritual forces of evil are pelting the Christian on all sides, relentless temptations. And amazingly, this poor, weak, very ordinary Christian man or woman or young person or child is actually standing at the end of it. They haven't fallen. This is not talking about super Christians. This is not for apostles, ministers, elders, anything like that. This is for any and every Christian. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Remember how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 12:9, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Maybe you think that standing isn't really all that very impressive. Is it a bit weak to stand? Would you not expect to do a bit more than just stand. Perhaps we think we'd like to rout the devil. If we're clothed in the Lord's strength, should we not destroy him completely so that he goes away and he never ever bothers us again? Well, that's not the result that's achieved by the Lord's power in us for now. Now, one day the devil and all the spiritual forces of evil will be finally and forever vanquished. But for now, he has the freedom, a little bit of freedom, to assault the people of God and to continue to tempt us and to attack us. And as long as we're in this world, the devil and the spiritual forces of evil are going to be doing their utmost to bring us down and to tempt us to sin. That's not going to stop. Maybe that's something that we, an idea that we hold on to, that we fool ourselves, that perhaps when we get to a certain age or to a certain stage of life, the temptation will just stop and it will get easier to be a Christian. That isn't going to happen. As long as you're a Christian, as long as you're in this world, you are in a wrestling match with the devil, with the spiritual forces of evil. It's not going to get easier. And that's why you've got to make up your mind to be strong in the Lord. As long as you're in this world, the devil will be tempting you, but you can resist. You can resist whatever that temptation is, that besetting sin that drags you down and that you long to be freed from. You may never be freed from it in this world, but you can resist it. Whatever that thing is that you're thinking of right now, that temptation, that sin, you can resist it. You can stand against the devil in the strength that the Lord provides. It's not easy. It's not easy. It is wrestling. And often we are battered hard by temptation. Temptation is, for fallen creatures like us, it is fierce and it is strong and it's attractive. And of course, you've got the world all around us urging us to give in. And you've got your sinful nature, the flesh inside us, screaming out for satisfaction. And it is an agonizing struggle sometimes. It's like a wrestling match. And maybe you feel again and again like temptation has got its arm wrapped around your neck and you feel that you just don't have the strength to go one more second. You're on the point of collapse. You're about to be thrown to the ground. Then suddenly the Lord gives you the strength to throw off your opponent and you can stand. It hurts to wrestle. I can't say that I've done it very often. It looks sore. It looks like it's hard work. It looks like it takes enormous effort. And that is the case. We've got to get our heads around that the Christian life is an excruciating battle. Struggling, wrestling with the spiritual forces of evil is not ever going to be easy. But the Lord says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And when we do that, we can stand. We all feel weak, don't we, in many ways. I'm sure that I don't need to persuade anyone here of their weakness, their need for strength. And you know very well the power of temptation. You know your shortcomings. You know your susceptibilities. You know where and when you are vulnerable. Don't need to remind you of those things. But friends, we do need to be reminded frequently that God gives his strength to his people. The strength that created the heavens and the earth. The strength that sustains the universe, the strength that governs all his creatures and all their actions. That same strength is the strength that is available to you this evening and every day this week. that it's available to you at every moment of every day to enable you to stand against the devil and against all the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So here's God's word to us as we go out from this place this evening and into this week. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the great goodness that you have stored up for those who fear you. And we thank you once more, as we did at the beginning of our service, so now at the end, that you provide us with this great strength, no less than the strength that you yourself possess, the strength of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll forgive us that so often we try to serve you and live for you and to resist temptation and to fight against the devil on our own strength, that we don't look to you, that we don't ask you for strength, we don't pray as we should, and then we fall. Father, we pray that this week, when we're attacked, when we engage in this wrestling with the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, as wrestle we must and wrestle we will, our Father, we pray that we would be strong in you, in the strength of your might and not of ours. We pray that we would see ourselves standing because we are filled with your mighty power. Father, we pray that particularly for any in the coming week who will face particularly severe temptations and trials. Lord, we don't know what this week has in store. We don't know what you have ordained for us in these coming days. But we thank you that whatever happens, you have ordained it. You have ordained it for our good. And you make available to us freely the strength that we need to deal with it and to stand for you wherever we may be called to do it. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.